If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Clayton dribbling on the logo. A little shot fake, drives left side of the lane, all the way to the rim. Count the bucket and the foul. Walter Clayton Jr., his first field goal comes on a rack attack.
He'll throw it away. Hill, Pagotis, goal! Did we just see what we think we just saw? Wow!
Confetti! You have to feel disgusted if you are a Houston fan, or a Houston better for that matter, as Florida wins a game they have no business winning, and they are the national champs. Congrats to Chuck Cooperstein.
Yes.
That's the play. And Florida Hall of Famer now.
He was just put in their Ring of Honor, or their Hall of Fame, whatever, 2 months ago?
Yeah, for the broadcast Ring of Honor. I didn't know they had a broadcast. I asked him stupidly, is this going to be in the stadium? And he was like, ha-ha, no.
But hey, the Florida Gators have won the title every single year that Chuck's been in the Hall of Fame. I don't think that's a coincidence.
I don't think so either. They've got two more, though, too.
Yeah, but they've won it every year that he's been in.
Every year that he's been in.
Their winning rate.
Yeah, so he just needs to get inducted every year.
He's like the, he's the Will Smith of announcers.
He's on the title team every year. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Florida win, but again, they won a game they had no business winning. They were not the better team last night. But they win it, and this is what this tournament has been. You've seen Houston was not the better team against Duke.
No, Houston
had no business being in this game.
I think Houston took that game, but yeah, Duke was better.
When you're up 14 with 8 to go, you're the better team. Houston was up 12 in this game. You're the better team. When you're up 12, you're the better team. I don't need the final score to know who the better team was, but that doesn't mean who the winning team was. And Florida did not make the same mistakes down the stretch necessarily that Houston did not get a shot off in their final two possessions.
Yeah, I mean it's unacceptable. Ultimately you got to get a shot off. That's the biggest thing. But Florida, to their credit, Florida played some great defense.
Honestly,
down the stretch,
they didn't get a shot off their final three possessions because on the third one, or the first one as in sequence, it was blocked.
Mm-hmm.
It was blocked by Condon. And then the next one, it went off Sharp's leg. And then the next one, Sharp, would have been called for a double dribble had he touched the ball.
Yeah.
By the way, had he play on him to know that rule?
Yeah.
Had he play on him. But, Florida wins the game, and they made the better plays down the stretch. I can't believe it.
Houston's starting five. What do you think they shot in this game?
Like a percentage?
Yeah.
I don't even know.
29%.
I don't think that's good.
29%. Because off the bench, Francis was 4 of 5. Wilson was 4 of 9. But then you go down the list, and it was just Juwan Roberts, 3 of 13. Emmanuel Sharp, 3 of 11. LJ
I am
Cryer,
stunned
6
Juwan
of
Roberts was 3 of 13. It looked like he was making everything that was thrown up there it in the first half.
3 of 13.
Wow.
It was a rough showing. But, good for Florida. They were opportunistic.
Yeah, they were.
There were a few different stumbles along the way where you felt like this wasn't going to be their year, whether it be against UConn or Tech, or they were down 9 to Auburn. You just thought at different points along the way. So resilience, they deserve a lot of credit for it.
Oh, God.
They finished games. They finished games.
That was the gutsiest, grittiest win I've seen all year by a team. It was such a, I mean, just to stay in there and keep crawling back. Every basket felt like a chore for Florida.
Yeah.
It was like that great, I mean, Houston was such a good defensive team all year long, and they were stifling. I mean, Walter Clayton did nothing in the first, 35 minutes of this game. 30 minutes of this game. And they hung on. They just kept with it. They led for a grand total of a minute. Minute and 4 seconds they led for.
Dude, what was that? So, I'm just looking at some of the 3 minutes and 14 seconds left in the Texas Tech game. Tech was 94% chance to win the game. Auburn, at one point during that game, was I can't remember where they were at. Auburn was at 60%. They were at 70% with 12 minutes left. Houston was at 94% with 15 minutes left last night. There were all these improbable comebacks. They deserve, like I said, Florida deserves a ton of credit for being as gutsy and resilient as they are and finishing basketball games. What I need to look up is how much did they outscore these teams in the last 10 minutes of games?
Or the last 5 minutes of games? It was quite a bit.
So they deserve it. They earned it. But man, I do feel bad for Houston. So
yeah, I do. I feel really bad for Kelvin Sampson. A lot of people coming in with his comps, his all-time comps, throwing out names like
for Kelvin Sampson.
For Kelvin Sampson, you know, throwing out names like Bruce Pearl, Mark Few, Rick Barnes, Bob Huggins. So Brian Kelly, you said from football.
Yeah, if you're looking at football, I think Brian Kelly is similar, but. I also get why you think that Kelvin Sampson's a better coach than Brian Kelly is.
I do. He's also more likable.
Yeah, because Brian Kelly is a jackass by all accounts.
You know, he did have his cheating ways, but those cheating ways don't even count anymore, man. They don't even count anymore. So was this the chalkiest tournament or the chokiest? There was quite a bit of choke that happened. You know, Tech, Duke, Houston. UConn, maybe.
Who did Arkansas choked against Tech, right? Didn't they?
Yeah, they had a 15-point second half lead.
Yeah, and so, I mean, there were a few different games that...
Yeah, there were quite a bit,
just
man.
Just wild. And then we had a couple others that fell, just short. Didn't Gonzaga... Gonzaga pushed it really close at the end against Houston.
Well, Houston was up, you know, double digits the entire game, and then Gonzaga made it They got into a one-possession game late, but for the most part, it was...
Yeah, and it was in the last 2 minutes. They were down 11 with 2 minutes left, and then they pushed it down. But no, look, this is... I enjoyed the tournament overall. If you're going to grade it overall, though, what'd you say, B minus?
It's a B. Look, the tournament's always good to me. This was a B minus tournament. It's there wasn't anything special. Although there was a lot of drama as you got... You know, every round past the Sweet 16, there was one game that was hanging in the... where the team had... Actually, before that, with Florida and UConn in the second round.
Is that what we were missing, though? Were we just missing Cinderella?
We missed Cinderella. We missed buzzer beaters, necessarily. You know, we missed Cinderella.
And we didn't... It didn't feel like we got... I mean, some people may say it's Walter Clayton, but again, I mean, that's Florida. That's different to me. We didn't have the standard tournament star. Oh my gosh, March made this guy.
Well, we thought we had it. And then last night he didn't play well. Clayton didn't play well.
No, but I mean, that's that's Florida. I'm saying, we don't have the typical oh my gosh, this there you got this point guard from Mason that my gosh, everybody falls in love with him. You start seeing people asking why is
Florida
this guy
Atlantic
be in the
had
NBA?
That a couple years ago. Derek Queen at Maryland might have been that guy with the buzzer beater, but they didn't go any further than that. You know, they lost the next round.
Boombox guy.
I mean, that honestly may be the guy.
One of the greatest guy.
Yeah, that may be the guy.
Didn't he lead off the overrated? One shining moment. One shining moment does absolutely nothing for me. Absolutely nothing for me.
I don't have any strong feelings towards it. It's just, it's whatever. Yeah. It's the corny song that plays.
Oh, it's such a corny song.
Yeah.
Who sings it, Peyton?
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Got it. I don't know who it is.
It's Luther.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was Luther.
Yep.
You know who Luther is, Peyton?
No. Does he have a last name?
He does.
Okay, good.
Starts with a V.
Luther
Don't make him guess a word that starts with B, please.
Thinking about it.
Was this the last game we'll ever see at the Alamo Dome? That is, it's they need, they've said, the Final Four basically say you need to overhaul this place if you want to have another one.
If that security guard has anything to say for it'll be the last one, because he's not going to let anybody on the court.
It's been built. It's been there for over 30 years. But it brings in about $440 million of economic impact to the city of San Antonio during this weekend. And, I mean, they're going to need to have at least $440 million of – so $440 million.
What's the issue with it?
It's just outdated. There's not the suites.
Is it run down, though, or is it just there's not a lot of perks?
There's not a lot of perks. It's not run down necessarily. It's also smaller, more intimate. It's always it's like a 65,000 seat.
I don't think I've ever been to the Alamo Dome. Maybe once.
Nothing to it, man. It's just a square. It's a rectangular building. That's it.
Yeah, no, I've seen it.
It doesn't have a whole lot of character to it.
I can't remember if I've ever been in it, though. But, I mean, I know that there's a little bit of, I think it's probably just the fact that it was like, all right, here's San Antonio's spot. Like, that's probably some of where the fondness comes for it.
I think it would be a good place to watch a basketball game from the standpoint of like of your football stadiums. It's the least cavernous because it's the smallest. So that's a good thing. But I think the NCAA just wants a more updated venue. And there's a lot of competition out there. They've Jerry World's it's coming to AT&T in 2030. Houston's always in the rotation. Phoenix is always in the rotation. Indy, Atlanta.
I don't know. I just feel like San Antonio is kind of like New Orleans with the Super Bowl. Like, they're going to make sure it swings through there.
I think so. But I don't know. They're kind of intimating that, hey, you got to update your building.
That's fair. I mean, if it's behind the times, like, they've got to you got to modernize it a little bit.
Yeah. College Kegger here on 105.3 The Fan. A little football here real quick. There are four teams leading the pack in the SEC for your win totals that have come out for this year. 9.5 Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
9.5 Georgia.
Yep.
9.5
LSU.
No, not LSU.
Oh, okay.
LSU is at 8.5.
Okay.
Ole Miss is at 8.5. 9.5 Tennessee. 9.5 Texas.
Look at that.
7.5 for A&M.
My Longhorns, your Volunteers, that's and right, Peyton baby. Russell's Georgia Bulldogs and Alabama Crimson Tide.
That's right, baby. Texas is minus 200 to go over. That's like a 66% implied odds or whatever.
Yeah, from what Sark has built with that roster, everything that he's done to kind of position them as a contender. This was supposed to be the 2-year window where they would really push, because you figured it was Quinn's last year, and so Quinn being able to take advantage of his best possible ball, and then you introduce Arch. So that's the thought.
They're by far the favorites, though, because they're they have the highest minus. They're the highest favorite odds. Georgia's minus 180, so not quite as good. And Bama and Tennessee are both plus money. So like they're. They're expected, Vegas expects them to go under the 9.5.
I mean, look, not just Homer Texas fan here. Don't you feel like watching Texas the last 2 years, there's a bit of inevitability with them?
That they're inevitably going to win the title?
They're going to at least get to the title at some point.
Yeah,
It feels like a build, like we're getting to like, all right, there's going to reach this point where Texas is going to win it. They're making...
It kind of feels like where Michigan was 2 years ago.
Yeah. Similar. I mean, they've been on the doorstep. They've been inching closer, and they keep building better teams. Last year, I thought they were going to take a bit of a step back, and they're probably better. I mean, they didn't. The other team was probably closer in that they got right. They were hanging right there with Washington. I mean, they were right there with Ohio State too. But I think that what you see is Texas is a team that feels very much like. It's going to get there. It's not there yet, but it's one of those things where everybody, I think, feels like they're inevitable. Nobody feels like a Notre Dame is inevitable, I don't think. But you do feel that way with, I think Texas is that way.
Even though Notre Dame went to the title game.
Yeah, but I mean, I think everybody looks at Notre Dame, at least I did, as Notre Dame is just like, What a scrappy team.
I think it was an upset for them to get there.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to, I don't think every year, year in, year out, that felt like their opportunity if they wanted to win.
The title game was the Final Four, Texas and Ohio State. That was the title game.
Yeah, that's how, essentially.
Last year, that was the title game.
So to me, I think, I do feel like there's some inevitability with Texas, and eventually they're going to win it.
Yeah, I think you're right. Now, the question is, how long do you have Arch for? I know the Mannings say 2 years.
Yeah.
He could technically go up to this year, though, I think.
Yeah, it would. I would assume it's this year. I would assume
he leaves up to this year.
That's my guess. Now, if the NFL scouts keep giving him some of the feedback that he's been getting now, he'll stay 2 years.
I think so.
Because some of the feedback he's been getting now is, dude, you need a little longer in the oven. You got to cook a little.
Okay. It's Sean and RJ here on 105 through the Phantom. RJ Choppy. He's Bobby Belt, Peyton, and Aiden alongside. Sean is out this week. He is back next week. He's got paternity leave for a child he had a year ago.
Oh, congratulations. Yes, he had another baby.
I know, another baby.
That's so good.
It's such a wonderful time of year.
Ah, just we'll get through this week and then that'll be it.
That's it, baby. There is a new favorite for Shedeur Sanders. Would you take him at 12 if he fell to the Cowboys? Plus, we ask Reddit. It is the commercial-free expressway. Next on The Fan.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, DFW. It is Sean and RJ here on 105 Through the Fan. You have reached the commercial-free expressway. Ask Reddit at 740. Special guest, Eric Chiafalo.
He's back.
He is the he was the subject or one of the subjects of Bobby Belt's latest diss track yesterday. He will join us at 740 for Ask Reddit.
He took it more humbly, so I've forgiven him. I'm moving on. And I'm forgiving Eric. I'm not forgiving Zach yet.
Okay, very good. Now, Bobby, there is a new favorite for one Shedeur Sanders in the NFL draft.
Yep, and you're going to want to keep an eye on the fan text, Chop, as I don't have access to it right now.
All right, sir.
877-881-1053. 877-881-1053. We're about to get into some Shedeur Sanders discussion. And what happens if he is just sitting there staring you in the face at pick 12? In fact, I'll ask that now, and you can start pouring in your answers, and we'll go over them. But if Shedeur Sanders makes it to pick 12, what are you doing if you're the Cowboys? And Chop and I will kick that around here in a little bit. But what would you want the Cowboys to do if that's what happens? New report here. This is from Mike Florio yesterday, reporting that both DraftKings and FanDuel, Chop, have now shifted the odds. And we see this usually about this far out. You start seeing certain odds shift in favor of a certain team or a certain player going a certain place. And that's usually an indicator that somebody's starting to talk, and they're starting to get a sense of things. For instance, yesterday we found Travis Hunter going number two has become a favorite and appears to be the betting markets are moving that direction. Abdul Carter, a lot of people are thinking now we'll end up with the Giants. And so you asked me this yesterday, where does that put Shedeur? And a lot of people, I think, have felt like the Jets could be the floor. Maybe the Jets don't like him, though.
A lot of people pick the Jets like at seven or something as the floor for him, but we'll see.
Maybe the Jets aren't fans of him. According to DraftKings and FanDuel, the new favorite to select Shedeur Sanders are the New Orleans Saints. They're plus 300.
Their pick at nine?
Nine. Plus 300. The next largest favorite is the Giants at plus 350.
Oof.
So basically, same question you had yesterday. If they get past the Giants, where's the fall? After the Giants, the next best odds are the Browns at plus 425. Then you have the Steelers at 7-1. Jets, Raiders, and Rams are 10-1. So we're basically looking at if he gets past New York, the next you're probably looking at a slide to the back end of the top 10. And now you're getting closer to Dallas. And if New Orleans passes,
he'll be there.
The next couple of picks are Chicago and San Francisco.
And
San Francisco is about to play. They're about to pay Purdy.
Well,
they're going to.
Would they change that plan with this?
I don't think so. I think they would pay Purdy.
All right, so here's what the Franklin Injury Attorneys Fan Text says, 877-881-1053. Draft him. Trade down. Draft him. He is booty. Don't draft him. Let's see. A fourth, a fifth, and now a first-round quarterback who won't play. I'm all out or more all out. I'm rooting for the Eagles. Absolutely not. Stay away. Trade down or trade Dak for a fifth. Trade the pick for a king's ransom. Let him keep dropping. He's this year's Brady Quinn. Trade out and get an extra pick. If Sanders there is 12, I trade back. Hopefully pick up another two, maybe a three. I would not take him at 212. He is terrible. I would laugh and say no, but use the pick to trade back if a team is willing. But I don't see him going in the first. That'll put some heat in her Dak's feet. So most say trade down.
So I'll get into some of my thoughts on Geno Smith, and then I want to hear what you would do, Chop, because you're Mr. Take the quarterback if he's sitting there, generally. So I'm going to be interested to hear what you have to say about this. I think Aiden's got this video. So we've talked about this before. The guy he's most similar to mechanically is Geno Smith. Like, it's very, there's a lot of similarities. If you look up on the fan cam, Chop, you can see the way that they drop, the way that they throw. It's very, very similar. Now, the only thing that's different is, and if you're seeing it, you can tell, Shador's got happy feet a little bit. It's a pitter-patter, whereas Geno's very solid, very stable. Base is good. But they are very, very similar in their delivery, the way that they drop, the way they stand in the pocket, the way that they move. It's all very similar. That's why a lot of people thought for a little while there that you could see Shador go to the Raiders and just learn under Geno for a couple of years.
Do you buy the tap?
What do you mean the tap?
When Shador taps the ball, do you buy that?
So he
has a tell that he gives away when he's about to throw by tapping the ball
a little bit, but most quarterbacks do at this age. So most quarterbacks have some sort of tell that they still haven't ironed out yet. It's very rare you get Andrew Luck walking into the NFL.
Yeah,
and so, to me, you look at Shador and go, okay, all the pieces are there to be, when you clean him up a little bit mechanically, he can be essentially what Geno Smith is now, which Geno Smith is a good quarterback that you can win with. Now, could he be better? Absolutely. Some of the different things, this is what I have Shador Sanders as my number one quarterback in the draft, but I have him with a second round grade. And so some of the things that I wrote about him when I had watched him was that he's a prolific signal caller, poise and touch are blinking lights. He throws with anticipation and confidence. He makes up for a lack of zip on the ball because he does not have like a cannon arm. He's got a decent arm, but it's not like a throw that's going to zip it through tight windows like Matthew Stafford. So he's got to throw with a little more anticipation, a little more touch, and that's how he compensates a little bit. He's not a threat to run, but he will use subtle movements in the pocket to buy some extra time. He will run when he has to. He's not just committed to staying back there like Dak has gotten to. He's got to work on the lower body mechanics. If you just saw it there, he throws from a sloppy base at times. It causes this uneven weight distribution that occasionally leads to the ball sailing on him. He's got these imprecise drop back mechanics that leads to avoidable sacks. He will not throw the ball away in a number of instances. And the problem is he keeps going backwards.
Oh, no.
So instead of throwing the ball away 9 yards deep in the pocket, it becomes an 18-yard sack. That happens a lot. So the throw mechanics reminiscent of Geno Smith, but he lacks a compact release. He'll occasionally allow corners to drive on the ball because of that, you know, like you mentioned, the pat on the ball, the longer release, it tips corners off. But if I tell you that that's the guy and I say Geno is the expectation, he could be more, would you say, all right, give me rookie contract Geno and figure out a way to pull the escape hatch on Dak Prescott? Do you just stand in, make a pick somewhere else, or do you trade down?
So the issue with Dak is obviously the contract. The reason that you would want Shador is that you get four or five free years of quarterback play. If you were to walk away from Dak right now,
it would not be now. You'd probably have to sit. Shador would have to sit for a year or two.
Yeah, then you're just wasting your. That's a waste. That to me, that's just that you're not getting the benefit of the free quarterback. But it is like I do think you have obviously have a chance to do a Green Bay Packers thing, with Love and with Aaron Rodgers. So, to me, when a quarterback falls in your lap in the first round and it's available that you weren't expecting to get there, I mean, I do think you have to take it. I don't care if it makes this team better this year. I'm not interested in that. This team isn't going to win the title this year anyway. So I don't really care.
So would you then, you would take him?
Yeah, because I also don't care what the scouts say about his prospects. Nobody thought Patrick Mahomes was going to be this. Nobody thought
he was going to be that, but he was a top 10 pick. He was considered
he was clearly two to Mitch Trubisky.
Right, but that's because there was some boom or bust with Mahomes because there were things you just didn't know about.
Right.
Because he was an attack offense that didn't, Trubisky was coming from North Carolina. People had you had more solid answers about him.
Like Josh Allen had a lot of questions.
Yeah, but still went six.
Still went six, but had a lot of questions about him.
Yeah, and still did the first 2 years of his career. Mm-hmm. Ironed him out, fixed it.
So, I mean, you know, we're very bad at evaluating people in general. So I don't really care what they think. It's just you have a quarterback that is a good player. You've seen him. You like him. If he's there, take him.
So here's the issue. If you trade down, Pittsburgh's the obvious target, right?
Obviously first choice. If you could trade down with Pittsburgh, because they're at, what, 20?
21.
What does it take to go 9 spots?
So this is the problem. You drop 9 spots, just going by the trade value chart that's out there publicly. Yeah. That's 1,200 to 800 points.
So you
need 400 points in between. 400 points is the 50th pick, which is the middle of the second round. Pittsburgh doesn't have a second round pick.
So next year's one.
Is that what you would do? You just trade for next year's one and drop down the spots and get nothing this year?
Yeah.
Or would you say a third and next year's two? You could get a third this year and next year's two. Which would you? You don't want instant gratification?
I don't need the instant gratification. No, we are in a rebuild. We are in a rebuild. And it's time this team recognizes that. Get next year's one and then trade next year's one for like a couple of twos or whatever. You know what I mean? Like just keep moving. That's what we need to do, I think.
Now,
short of that, if Pittsburgh doesn't bite and doesn't give you that, then, dude, you know what? Just take him. Green Bay did it. Was Green Bay stupid when they had Brett Favre at the end of his career? Basically the same spot Dak was in, where you've got a couple of years left. Was Green Bay dumb to take Aaron Rodgers?
No. But, I mean, also, kind of a different scenario. Like, you had a very clear path towards... Yeah. They're out of here.
Was Green Bay dumb to take Jordan Love?
No, same sort of situation. It's the exact situation.
And we have a clear path here.
Right, but
two more years and go.
Yours would take extreme financial discipline that like Green Bay and others didn't have to. They knew there was an end date coming.
Yeah.
Is the only difference there. Now, if you take Shedeur Sanders, which I don't think they would. If you could get the value for it, yeah, if Pittsburgh offers you a one, sure, trade down, go do it. But otherwise just stand in there and pick somebody other than Shedeur, I think probably. But if you take Shedeur Chop, mm-hmm. Joe Milton's going to request a trade because wasn't he pretty upset that he wasn't able to compete in New England?
That's one of the talking points that has come out about the end of Joe Milton's tenure with the Patriots. It's that there's a report out there that he was not going to be able to compete for the starting job. That they were going to just hand it over to Drake May in camp and not allow Joe to compete. And I get it. He drafted him very, very high. But Joe was like, all right, if I'm not going to be given a chance to compete for the starting job, I'm a second-year player. Trade me. And they did. And they were going to trade. They probably were going to trade him anyway because they got Josh Dobbs as their backup, and Dobbs was with Vrabel in Tennessee. But, you know, like this is not a problem, is it? Like that the guy wanted to be traded if he's not going to have a chance to compete for the job?
No, I get
it. He's not going to have a chance to compete here, but he knows he's also, Dak's got an end date on his career.
Yeah, he also wanted to be in Dallas, it sounded like. So I guess it is just a thing of like, well, if I'm not going to start anywhere right now or be given a chance to compete, I guess I'll just be comfortable. I want to be in Dallas.
I'll make some cash. I'll get a chance to play because Dak's going to get hurt. Does every year.
That's not a wish, to be clear.
It's not a wish.
You're just saying it's an expectation. Just saying
it's an expectation. And then, you know, if Dak retires in 2 years and I'm still here and they like me, maybe I'll have a chance to compete for the starting job.
There is a chance, though, it's staring him in the face. But if not, Then it'll be Kellen Moore and Shedeur Sanders coupling up. And that'll be what we're looking at. But either way, I think that we've got, you've got an opportunity to do something or develop something with Joe Milton. Stick with that. Make your pick. I would go ahead and say pass on Shedeur Sanders.
Okay. I mean, I'm not going to criticize that. I would take the quarterback when they're there. But
I get it. But
I get what you're saying, too. All right, Sean and RJ here on 105.3 The Fan. This HOV portion of the commercial-free expressway is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Plano. Let's hook you up for listening.
All right, Tolos, that's right. Call our number 10 right now at 877-881-1053 wins a four-pack of tickets to see the Arlington Renegades on Saturday, April 19th at Choctaw Stadium in Arlington. That's call number 10 at 877-881-1053.
All right, it is time for my favorite segment of the week. It's Brian Broaddus' favorite segment of the week, and we have a special guest joining us for Ask Reddit.
Do you have a question, Kelly?
Yeah, I have a lot of questions. Number one, how dare you?
That's right. It's time for Ask Reddit. We do it every Tuesday here during the Expressway. We kick around some of the answers with you, the Tolos, over on the Frankel & Frankel Injury Attorneys fan text, 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. We're also going to get your answers on the Twitch. So, you know, I'm talking to One Love TX. I need you in here to give us some answers. Mike X Cowboy, Not a Fan 1053, Shoot Brown 78, The Sethnicity. All you guys jump in there over on the YouTube. We need Cordero, Christina, Lil Dallas Cowboy, Carrie, everybody. We're going to get you your answers here in Ask Reddit as we kick these around the studio. And we kick it around with Eric Chiafalo. Welcome, Bleeder. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. I would like to acknowledge the presence of Gaylord Choppy, Peyton Russell, and Aiden Butler. I'm not sure who else is on the show with you, man. Choppy, but it's great to be here with you.
Man, thank you for joining us. Someone get my man some help. My man over here with a half-painted wall. What is that in the background? You got a half-painted wall there.
This is our disaster class of a room. I don't really have a nice little studio set up, so I'm bunkered in the girls' little playroom that my wife decided to paint part of the wall and then just sort of punted on it a couple of months ago. So
you as a homeowner, Chop, and as an interior designer, you should know what an accent wall is.
That's
all it is.
Right.
It's just an accent
wall. That's right. I got one.
All right, that's what we're doing. All right, we're doing Ask Reddit here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to lead off with Eric Chiafalo. Eric, how can you tell if a woman has seen other dudes behind your back?
You know, not really a feeling I'm familiar with, Bob. I got to be
honest. Thankfully,
with you.
Yeah.
I think it's usually there's kind of a distance factor, right? Like there's less of a replying. They're all of a sudden a little bit busier on the weekends, and you know, the ghost factor. I mean, that's really all I got for you. I don't really have too much experience in these waters from my understanding.
DFW Dad says protective with the phone is one.
Protective with the phone, I think, would be one. Like if you're in a long-term relationship and she's like, that just starts cutting it off, or maybe she starts grooming more than normal.
That could be it. I'll tell you
or picks up a move or two.
I'll tell you what. A lot of it is, I think a lot of what you, or at least I've seen, so I haven't had to deal with this specifically, but what you see, I think a lot from other friends that I've known who have dealt with this, it's usually they start becoming more accusatory. Like they start really ramping up the, what are you doing? Are you cheating? Like it just becomes a little more like reflecting out their own guilt or whatever that is. Some of the answers on the YouTube. T from the 203 says, if she tracks you on Apple, Peyton, that's what you do. You track people on Apple. Let's see here. Some of the other answers. Gregory says she starts picking fights with you. Mike X Cowboy on the Twitch says, getting texts from Pizza Hut at 2 a.m.
Yeah, those random Pizza Hut texts. It's a dead giveaway.
Usually pretty good. Peyton, what's your answer here?
Yeah, she just gets, I mean, it's probably what everyone says, but she gets weird when you're looking at her phone or like, you know, being around her phone, it goes off and you kind of glance at her, have her phone in general. And she's like, whoa, what are you doing with my phone? Give me that. You know, she doesn't want you looking through her stuff. That's probably a giveaway.
We're doing Ask Reddit here on 105.3 The Fan. You can text us, 877-881-1053.
People say the Fan text, a partially painted wall is a dead sign.
No. just gave up the, they gave up the paint. That's what, Marion would never do that. I'm confident. All right, RJ Choppy, I know which answer you're going to give here.
Okay.
But what is a pain you can't truly explain until you've endured it?
A pain you can't truly explain until you know my answer?
Well, I mean, I think everybody's default answer for guys is going to be...
Childbirth, yeah.
Well, I think for guys, when you get hit down there, you can't explain it to somebody how painful it is.
When you get kicked there...
We had this debate the other day. Well, is the flick worse than the full-on hit?
The flick is absolutely worse because it's a delayed reaction. Mm-hmm. A kidney stone. I've never experienced that. I have no idea what the pain is. But the one I've actually experienced that I don't think I can explain to you, you got to just try it for yourself. And Chia, I know that you spend a lot of days at the gym. You ever dropped a weight or a dumbbell on your toe?
Oh, my gosh.
I lost my big toenail.
Did you really?
Yeah, I got back. I came back. But the foot, I've never experienced pain like this.
Yeah, I mean, even when you're just putting plates on a bar, if you get a little too aggressive with it and your finger slips in there and gets smashed, even just 5 pounds is extremely painful. And I could imagine Choppy. I know you're a shoeless in the public bathroom guy.
Yeah,
or you might be shoeless in the gym guy.
I don't do that. I don't do shoeless. I know people who do. I don't get it. There was a guy yesterday with flip-flops on in there. I was like, what are we doing here, man?
No, that's a poor decision. I don't like that decision at all. What's your answer here, Eric? A pain you can't truly explain until you've endured it. I'll say for me, you're going physical pain. I'll go emotional pain. You cannot, like, the first time, like, somebody hurts your kid's feelings like, really, like, hurts your kid and makes them, like, come home crying from school. So I get so, like, shared hurt by that and want to just, the irrational things I want to, like, harm somebody is very, it's really hard to explain it until it actually, you feel it happen. So, Eric, what's your answer?
You want to lash out at the elementary school kid who hurt your daughter's feelings. I totally
yeah, what's
get that.
Shake the, shake what's the 7-year-old by the shoulders.
For me, dude, I would say the extreme sciatic pain.
Oh, gosh, that's awful.
It is. I mean, I describe it like you just have a sword that's stuck from the top of your hip down to your toes. If you get it all time bad, which I did some 10 years ago or whatever. And I mean, just writhing, you're laying down, sitting, standing, walking, nothing really helps it. It's just pure misery.
Peyton, what you got?
So I went emotional pain rather than physical pain here, but it's the obvious that a lot of us felt over a decade ago, being one strike away from winning the World Series, and you see your team lose, because it hurt me. Hurt me bad for many years. It still hurts me today.
I bet you Houston fans are feeling that today.
You know, Yankee fans saying, oh, well, we blew a 3-0 lead in the series. That's nothing compared to this. You're one strike away twice. You have it right there.
I think a lot of people would say a 3-0 series lead is worse.
But you can lose 4 in a row. No one's ever been a strike away, though, and lost it.
Let's hear.
No one's ever put a 3-0 series lead.
Some of the answers on the YouTube. Max says stepping on Legos barefoot.
Oh.
David Sullivan on the YouTube says a bad toothache. Let's hear some of the answers on the Twitch. Not a fan. 105.3 says full grown adult circumcision is his answer for this
what
one.
Idiot. Thought of that. Now, is that a religious? Am I speaking about a religious?
No, just when you're an adult, like maybe it didn't get done earlier and you decide.
There's no chance.
I don't want the torpedo bat down there anymore.
There's no chance. Absolutely.
I want to get things cleaned up. You'll have to just, that's what it is. All right. We're doing Ask Reddit. I very carefully stopped myself from making a joke that I shouldn't. I'm sure you saw it since
I know exactly where you were going.
All right. We're doing Ask Reddit here on 105.3 The Fan, 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. Oh, Peyton, I've been saving this one for you. What famous woman that is widely considered attractive do you not find attractive at all?
I don't think this is that big of a hot take, but it's Kelsey Plum,
I
the WNBA player. A lot of people just, I mean, and Eric can say this, you know, a lot of people bark at her. You know, that howl is loud for her, but.
Bark?
I don't see it. I really don't.
Oh, God.
She's cute, but like, I'm not.
I don't see it either,
I'm
dude.
I'm going crazy
her eyebrows look like the Dow Jones.
Those are eyebrows that. looked like they want to tell me what to do.
No, those are Dow Jones, like, starts up here and just start cratering down to the bottom.
Oh, my God.
I agree with that take from Peyton.
Nuts.
No, I agree with that take from Peyton. The obvious answer here is Shakira. I've already listed 100 women that were more attractive.
You're just insane.
I listed 100 women. No, honestly, you know what the answer was for this for forever was Paris Hilton. Like, I never understood why people said she was attractive. I didn't get it.
I don't get Charlize Theron.
Oh, I think she's gorgeous.
I don't get Selma Hayek.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know. The whole thing, she just goes around breastfeeding people's kids. It just bothers me.
Yeah.
I just don't get, like, wow, cool. Like, I'm not a boob guy. So, like, it doesn't do anything for me. Hey. I'm an adult, okay? I'm a butt man.
Eric, would you like...
Make me a kid again.
Would you... You're in the house. Dude, you were at Radio Row the last time. You were safer there. Would you like this chance to say Paige Spiranic? Would you like to say that's your answer? Is I don't find her attractive at all?
No, I like Peyton's, though. I think Peyton's is actually pretty strong. Peyton's is probably the best. And this isn't an indictment on these individuals because it's not that they are in the unattractive world, but I just, there's an overrated aspect to them.
Yeah.
And I think right now you're talking about the Sydney Sweeneys of the world and the Dua Lipas of the world. Just a little bit overrated.
DFW Dad has two really rough answers on the Twitch. One you just gave, Sydney Sweeney. But I mean, I get why people have said overrated. But the other one, Alexandra Daddario, DFW Dad, that's a swing to miss. She is wildly attractive. She might be my number one seed right now. She is gorgeous.
I do love her.
Eric, did you see White Lotus? Did you watch White Lotus season one?
No, unfortunately.
Did you watch Baywatch, the movie?
Yes.
Okay, she was the brunette lifeguard in Baywatch with the blue eyes. She's not unattractive at all. I don't understand that one. I'm not seeing it at all. Not a fan. 105.3 says Megan Thee Stallion. We're getting a lot of Beyonce. Ginger Beard on the YouTube says Beyonce. We also got that from ESBY Texas on the Twitch. So a lot of Beyonce. What are some of the names we're getting on the fan text?
Let's see. Giselle, Cindy Crawford, any of the Kardashians.
Giselle's a great answer.
Cameron Brink, Taylor Swift. Dua Lipa is not overrated. Let's see. Kelsey Plum has the Joker's smile. Shakira, Bobby needs to be fired.
It's more just trolling Chop more than anything else. But they could just be saying that as a commentary in general.
Sydney Sweeney, overrated. Just some boobies.
All right, here we're doing Ask Reddit here on 105.3 The Fan. Let's go next to Eric Chiafalo. Eric, let's go with... What's the most inexplicable time your gut instinct was 100% right, even though you had no evidence to back it up?
That is a great question. Let's see. Did I put anything down? I guess punting on the engagement. Some years ago,
I didn't include that line in the diss track. I thought about it.
Yeah, I thought you might be throwing something in there, which we might have something cooked up coming back your way for that one.
What? Bob,
just for the record.
You're getting engaged again?
We might have a response track. There's a meeting of the minds, and hopefully back. At some point this clap week, back. we will be punching down at Roberto.
I hope you learned how to use ChatGPT to your benefit.
No, he's working on his own. Which is good because I'll definitely win if they're working on it themselves.
What was the question again?
What's the most inexplicable time your gut instinct was 100% right, even though you couldn't, even though you had no evidence to back it up? I'll give you my.
I feel like March 2020 comes to mind.
Oh, well, what was your gut instinct then?
I don't remember.
I think everybody had some sense something was going on in March of 2020. Yeah. I'll tell you what.
Something was amiss. I thought something was amiss.
I'll tell you what mine was. And this will be a very legitimate time I'm about to talk about my mom dying. So, no bit here. No bit. When my mom died, she died in, it was February of 06. So, she died. We started going back to church like 6 weeks later after everything had kind of settled back down. And while we were at church, somebody had walked up to my dad and like introduced themselves and wanted to like buy dinner or like bring us dinner, like join the meal train that was being handed out or whatever. And we got back in the car and my dad was like, I said, who is that? And he goes, oh, she's going to bring us food or something. And I was like, no. And he's like, what do you mean no? I was like, no, you're going to end up marrying her. And like everybody laughed in the car. And it was the most ridiculous thing to say. He ended up marrying her. That's who they did end up years later getting married. And I was laughed out of the car because like it's 6 weeks later. And so that wasn't his intention. But 6 weeks later, I'm just like, I don't want to introduce anybody new into the fold. And yeah. So I was like, nope, that's not happening. We're not bringing anybody into the house. And then like it was 4 years later, they got married. So
she was right, man.
I was right. Peyton, what's your answer for this?
I don't know if this is a great answer. It might be a little lame, but
probably isn't.
I mean, there's been past relationships where like, you know, I just had a feeling like, you know, okay, like she's maybe talking a little different. She's not wanting to see me as much. And I'm like, okay, it's coming. Like she's about to break up with me. And then a few days later, bam, you know, it happens. Like we're still hanging out, but like, you know, I just know like sooner or later, she's going to say, hey, we need to talk. And it happened.
That's a good one. Let's see here. Some of the answers over on the, let's go to the YouTube, see if anybody's out there. No, they're just all reacting to my story.
From the Franklin Frankel injury attorney's fan text that LeBron is responsible for the Luka trade.
Oh, that was a gut feel it, but that wasn't right. It didn't technically turn out to be right, did it? Do we know that was LeBron who did that?
No, we have no idea. We have no proof.
I think there's been some receipts now and like the tea leaves are pretty understood that LeBron, who acted like in real time, he had no idea what was going on and he was just as shocked as the rest of us. That is absolute cap.
He is King Cap, as Lucius always calls him. All right. This is a good one for Chop, because Chop, right. I feel like you are always lobbying for this. Chop, what are some positive male traits/stereotypes you wish men would get more credit for?
Traits and stereotypes.
I know my answer on this one. Easy.
I don't know if this is a stereotype, but it's a trait I think men generally have that we don't get credit for. Is like, at least, like, men, we just get up and go to work and we just don't tell you about our problems. We bottle everything up and we just handle it.
I knew that was going to be.
Like, I don't want to hear if you have a hangover. Like, your hangover doesn't, like, just deal with it, man.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. Like, that's, I don't think we get credit for just handling.
Just manning
it.
Up, essentially. Just go, I've got to do something so it's going to get done, no matter what limitations are there. Sort of similar. I don't think it gets almost, like, put down these days, but the natural inclination to kind of be protector of like, our woman or whoever, where it's a little bit like, are you just thinking we can't handle things ourselves? Like, that's almost talked down and looked down upon today is the natural, I think, male instinct to say, I'm going to protect you, or I'm your protector, or you need my protection, or I should be with you and keeping you safe. That's almost talked down as like demeaning. It's like, no, that's just it's an instinct I think most men have to say, I'm going to be the protector. Eric, what's your answer?
I think you guys both just hit it out the park. I was kind of leaning Choppy's way there. Just strap it on the boots and going to work, man. Yeah, just putting your head down and getting it done. With crabs hitting the fan all around you. You're getting in the car and you're going to work and you're continuing to put food on the table. I'm with you boys on that 100%.
Peyton, what's your answer?
Yeah, kind of like what you guys said, just being able to calm your emotions. We go through so much, but it's like we keep it inside and we go about our business. Yeah.
And then we have a stroke and then we're fine.
Yeah.
All right. Compartmentalizing.
That's exactly what it is.
I think at the end of the day, we are all sociopaths as men.
To some extent, probably. All right, last one here. We'll wrap up with Eric Chiafalo as he joins us for Ask Reddit, and we appreciate him. Eric, you just passed away, and you're allowed to be reborn, but not as a human. You got to be something else. What do you want to be?
Okay, I want to be something that gets aerial. So, I mean, I don't know if I want to be a bald eagle or, I mean, if we could go back in time, could I be a pterodactyl of some sorts? I want to be able to roam wherever I want to and really be out of the way in terms of, like, you don't have many predators coming your way. When you're that far up in the sky, right? I mean, especially if you're a bald eagle, people aren't even shooting at you. So you just get to roam free and go. I mean, in my mind, I'm thinking if I want to be around a particular person that I love, I can be around them. If I want to go watch, I mean, think about being a bird and a sports fan at the same time. You're at every game.
Yeah,
you are.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, bird
gets
to be at every sporting event. Bird's a good one. Apparently now I want to be a dire wolf. They just bring me back to life.
You have been dying to talk about this.
I am so mad.
We will get into it. We will.
I am so mad about what they're doing.
We will get into
it. And that's a local company, too.
We will get into the dire wolf. Peyton, what's your answer?
See, you guys got this wrong. You guys went with animals, you know, birds,
yeah.
creatures. I'd rather just be like a sports bra. Just let me be a sports
bra. Oh, shoot, man.
Very close.
Like okay. a woman's bicycle yep. seat, then.
So that's what nope. I was going to go with. I was going to say I wanted to be the sports bra. The breast pump in one of those villages that Salma Hayek visits.
Wasn't that the question? I'd be an animal?
No. You passed away and are allowed to be reborn, but not as a human.
Oh, yeah.
A shower head or something, you know?
A shower head.
We're done.
All right, that's
Eric
enough.
Giafala,
all right, thanks,
thank
Eric.
You so much.
Holy cow. Oh, Peyton. My God.
You're gonna Peyton's with his luck, he's gonna be Kelsey Plum's sports bra.
Oh my God.
No, Mark, like in the show.
That is the commercial free express with
oh
Mark
my
Cuban.
Gosh.
Says what I've been saying for months. For months. And now an NBA insider torches the Mavs front office. Next on the Fan.